As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Benders. Welcome back to Avatar The Last Airbender, the extended edition. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And for some of you, this will be welcome back.
But if you're new here, we are husband and wife that run two fandom podcasts together, Shell Cottage Radio, a Cozy Potter podcast, which is a Harry Potter podcast only.
And the extended edition where we bounce from fandom to fandom, but often linger in a galaxy far, far away.
Our current obsession is the Avatar The Last Airbender show on Netflix.
And today we are here to break down the Season 1 finale, Episode 8, Legends. We're going to give you a quick summary of the events and then share our raw first impressions and thoughts. I will start us off with a summary.
Let's go.
Episode 8, Legends. The season finale begins with Team Avatar quickly destroying a Fire Nation ship, kicking off an intense battle. As the Fire Nation starts attacking the Water Tribe, Master Paku changes the rules, letting women fight and giving Katara a group of young soldiers to lead. The battle is intense and the Water Tribe takes tragic losses. Even Momo gets severely injured after saving one of the Northern Water Tribe children. Sokka and Yue carry him to the spiritual epicenter of the North Pole, an oasis with lush forest and a pool of healing water. Yue uses these magical waters to bring Momo back from the brink of death, but then Zhao enters the shrine and captures and eventually kills the moon spirit in the form of a koi fish. This causes the entire world to go red and takes away the waterbender's powers. The situation looks hopeless as the waterbenders are unable to use their powers in the fight. In a bold move, Aang joins forces with the water spirit to fight back against the Fire Nation, causing massive destruction. Yue gives up her life to bring back the moon spirit, restoring balance and the waterbender's abilities. In the midst of all of this, Zuko faces off with Zhao. The Admiral exposes Azula's schemes, including her plans for the throne and the truth behind Zuko's mission to capture the Avatar. The episode concludes with the Fire Nation's troops at the North Pole defeated, the moon and waterbender's powers back in place, and Azula's threat growing, setting the stage for future conflicts and alliances. Wait. Things have been too just, unless we got to cool things.
Too tense.
Off here a little bit.
Too hot.
Woo! Fire Nation needed cooled down.
Okay, first reaction was, okay, finale looks great. Great fights.
Yep.
Have my own thoughts about the whole moon spirit monster thing.
Okay.
But that's just part of the original. It's nothing that's... just that the show did, right? Nothing new, really.
Uh-huh, yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Okay.
First of all, I want to talk about the lion turtle.
Mm.
Zhao, in search of something that could help him in the fight against the waterbenders, against Agnicala, he stumbled upon something, and it's one little sentence that he says about the lion turtle. Oh, there's something about the lion turtle in here, nothing of importance. And everyone knows who watched the show to the end that the lion turtle is of huge importance to the world.
Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. In case y'all didn't know.
The lion turtle is one of, but is the oldest known animal in the world of, in the Avatarverse, right? And I got this from the Avatar fandom wiki, where it says, in the era of Rava, lion turtles populated the Spirit Wilds, where they served as protectors of mankind by housing cities on their backs. As indicated by the symbols on their foreheads, each individual lion turtle showed an affinity for one of the four elements and possessed the ability to grant individuals the power to control said element through energy bending. When the era of the Avatar began, the lion turtles relinquished their roles as protectors of mankind and started to roam the world. However, by 100 AG, the lion turtles had been hunted to near extinction, with only one individual remaining, the one that we see later that meets Aang and teaches Aang how to energy bend.
Energy bending.
And there is lots of connections. I wondered, why is he mentioning the lion turtle here? And this is totally speculation, nothing confirmed, but I feel like that Agni Kella was once a city on the back of a lion turtle.
Oh, okay.
And because they talk about this spiritual center and the earth is warming it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Wait, how do we know they're all gone? Are we sure that one's the last one? I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
We are not. We don't know, really.
I mean, we know we meet that one later on in season three of the animated.
And it could be that, I mean, that lion turtle that was maybe once the carrier of Agni Kella is now, has now ceased, gone over to the spirit world or wherever beyond. But I don't know. I like the theory that once it was, the city was on the back of the lion turtle. And they said the waterbenders looked up to the moon and learned how to waterbend from the moon. But what if they were also given the power by the lion turtle? I don't know.
Just an idea, a little connection to the lion turtle. I, being sort of an amateur in all of this, which I am, I was a little bit blown away when we got to the part where you were looking at Uncle Iroh's chest plate. And I know you have this as a note later on.
Oh, no, it's right here, yeah.
But it was literally, you pointed it out, and I was like, yeah, it looks cool. Looks like a dragon to me. Look like a dragon.
And it could be. It could totally be a dragon, because it makes sense. He's the dragon of the West.
Except for the two little front sharp teethers, you know what I mean?
It looks suspiciously like a lion turtle.
It looks exactly like a lion turtle. And as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I had to go back and refresh my memory on what all that was. I didn't remember any of that stuff. We blitzed through the end, and I need to really go back and I think re-experience the whole thing, honestly, after watching all of this. And I think that's what you always hope happens, is that you have a live action and then it takes people back to the original source material, you know?
That's what I think is great.
In Lord of the Rings, for example, movies came out, book sales went up. People went back to the source material and said, books are awesome. Same thing with Harry Potter. That's just what happens. Yeah. Now, the source material here is an animated show. So the show is good. It's doing well. It's number one show right now in the world. And they're all over promoting it. I think it's going to send people back to the animated series, and you're going to find a lot of cool little... You're going to find these Easter eggs that are in the live action that are there in the animated, and they're just this this tie-in. You've got to cut some stuff out, but they've done a good job of, I think, getting a lot of it in there.
And I think, like you said, that's great. That's the great part about it. It's a new interpretation of it, and that's how we should see it.
My thought, okay, with Uncle Iroh. Did you know this? I had to go back and do some research, okay? Thought you'd just drop your little theory on me and I'd just move away from it, okay? Here, do you know what happens to Zhao? Do you know what happens to Zhao? Legend of Korra.
Don't really
remember. Spoiler here.
So I have watched Korra. I have watched the beginning multiple times, but I have not... I don't remember. I don't remember the ending, really.
Yeah. So, I know it's been a long time for you. I have yet to really see it. So... I'm just going to say to folks, if you want to skip ahead, maybe 30 seconds, a minute, whatever, and you don't want this spoiled because you haven't seen that, go ahead. But I'm going to spoil it for you because I just found it out. Spoiled for me. So, essentially, he, at the end of this, the ending with Zhao is different. It's different in the animated series from what happens here.
Yeah, I feel like he lives a little longer.
No, not necessarily.
Does he die in the battle?
Yeah. Guess who takes him out? The water spirit. Right?
Okay.
The water spirit comes back and grabs, you know, like, boom, comes after him. Vengeful.
Yeah.
And actually, he and Zuko are fighting. But he wasn't really necessarily fighting to kill.
Right.
And so, or maybe he was. I don't know. But he is essentially pulled down by the vengeful water spirit. And I think Zuko even offers him a hand.
That could be. I mean, that sounds very much
right?
like...
And then it seems like he's offering him this chance.
Is he on a ship? Is it in the water?
I think it's still
tribe,
in the like city in there. City. I think it's just sort of like kind of how they set it up there. But I think he's being pulled down into the waters. And he's actually being pulled down to the point that his physical body is... Well, I don't know. That he ceases that he is actually trapped in the spirit world.
Wow.
He is taken down in like the... I think it's the...
ring a bell.
It's sort of like the land of
the
lost souls, kind of, you know? And I was like, wait a second, what? That spirit literally was so upset with Zhao that it just says, hey, man.
You're not going anywhere.
And I was sort of blown away that this is what happens. And this all comes out, I guess, in The Legend of Korra, but I just was like, what? He's a resident. He is a current resident of the Fog of Lost Souls.
Oh.
That's where he lives. The Fog of Lost Souls. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that's
in the spirit world. That's where he lives. Now, interestingly, we've already, you know, Gyatso is there as well. The spirit world is a place where you can go live, people. I didn't know this, okay? Gyatso's there and he's waited. This guy doesn't seem to want to be there, but he's there.
Mm.
Also, the connection that I have here is right before this battle takes off, why does Zhao approach Iroh? Because Iroh has ventured to the spirit world.
Yeah, he's very connected.
He's traveled there. Yeah. He has actually traveled there. So your connection, is he wearing the lion turtle shield?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely he is. Absolutely he is. He actually, so I think you even said that the lion turtle, right, it carries cities on its back, right?
And used to, yeah.
It used to, right? Okay, so Iroh was actually a man destroying cities.
Mm.
His lesson is he has a second chance.
Oh.
And now it's time for him to carry cities and civilization on his back.
In the spirit world.
That's what he does. And he's even doing that in a sense by trying to forge this and all the secret stuff. I don't want to mention all the different orders that he's, you know, the order that he's in right now. But I mean, he's in an order where in which they are working for the betterment, I think, of civilization, of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just sort of symbolic. It's interesting that like he's wearing the lion turtle, which carried the cities and was a protector of the people.
Yeah.
And here he is doing that. He will go on to do that in the spirit world. Zhao approaches him in the animated series and makes a very small reference. I know you have experience there.
Mm.
You have ventured there. What does that mean? What does that mean? And then you go back to what's happening in the animated series where when they're talking about Lu Ten and Zuko says to him that they both died, essentially.
Ooh.
Iroh has passed and Lu Ten passed.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, it's sort of like a Gandalf sort of been sent back moment, you know? Like, it's here's your second, like, this is, you're going to come back and there's new life and this whole path with Zuko starts.
Wow.
It's such an interesting thing. I think there's way more than I've ever really, I need to go back and do a deeper analysis of Uncle Iroh because I'm like, dang, there is a lot going on there.
I mean,
there
he's absolutely a fan favorite. He's one of the greatest characters in Avatar. We can all agree on that, I think.
I mean, it's got all sorts of Star Wars feelings to it for me, you know, these great sort of guide by the sides and all the, like, Zuko's arc is unbelievable. It's wild, but this finale, I felt like it really had everything in it. I really felt like there was a lot that was close to the animated finale as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was very close.
Yeah.
And we end up in the same spot anyways. There's a couple of different mechanisms that we use to get there that are a little altered, as I just referenced with Zhao and Zuko and stuff. But all in all, I still feel like we got there. By the way, just a quick plug, if you've listened this far and you want to listen to the end, I am going to pull up some YouTube comments from people that I thought were kind of comical about the series as a whole.
Yes.
So once we're done talking about the finale at the very end of this, stick around. I'm going to have some comments there.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Do you want me to point out some other things that I thought were really good in this episode?
Please.
I loved, for example, Katara's confidence when she was fighting Zuko, Right. It was her moment to show she has learned so much along the way. And sometimes we forget how much time has passed. And it's hard in an 8-episode season to show that time passing. We only get glimpses of it when they talk about events that we haven't seen, but they've experienced. Right.
Right. Right.
So it's been months since they left the Southern Water Tribe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she has grown like crazy, and she's found, so what Zuko says to her, oh, you found a master, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And what Katara says is, yes, you're looking at her.
You're looking at
her. I mean,
it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, to me, great line for her, and it's the confidence she developed, and through Jet, like the little things along the way, when she finds the master in herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it's not to diminish what other people have taught her, but it's truly to build confidence in her own abilities, and that those people are helping her, but it actually comes from herself. And I think it's great.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think it is too. So if you think about it, she doesn't have a master at all, and throughout this finale, she was called master multiple times.
Multiple times, yes.
Right. So
all the way until the end,
the young warrior who comes up and says, "I haven't completed my training." My gosh, we lose him by the end of this, actually. And pour one out for him, pour one out for Han.
Yes.
Gee, many Christmas.
Right.
I forgot. Actually, you know what? I think what happens to him is he gets just thrown overboard by Zhao in the animated series. So it's a little different. There's like an attack on the ship or something. But that was, it was just cool to see that Katara was, throughout this, acknowledged, I mean, she very quickly became almost like a leader and inspiration to the other women there.
Absolutely.
And was a reminder to Paku that, hey, water is the element of change.
Yes.
She is the great bringer of change.
Yeah, and Paku was very much still holding on to the traditions of their tribe.
Right, right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So by the end, it's honestly, I didn't really like him in this. I mean, nothing against the actor or whatever, but you're meant to kind of be like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. What let her do her thing. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh, okay. Here, I wanted them to hug. I knew they weren't supposed to, but I was like, just hug it out.
Yeah.
Just hug each other because it feels like there's great bonding going on.
Did you remember that he was actually engaged to her grand?
Mm.
They totally didn't include that. Yes.
You're right.
In the animated show,
holy,
he sees her necklace and her grand and gave it to her mother, and her mother gave it to her, and she wears it because of her mother, but it's actually the engagement necklace that he carved. So I was surprised that they didn't include that, but
yeah, really, that could have been a really one that seemed to that seemed to be an easy thing to include. So I know you have to make cuts, but that's a good one.
Yeah.
Don't know if they should have cut that.
I thought he was going to say it to her in the end, just as a little hint, and he's going now to find her again to the South Pole. That's what
Dang.
He does. Yeah.
Are they going to include that later on? Because, I mean, like, gosh, they had such a huggable moment there. Mm-hmm. I was just like,
yeah.
Anyway, wow. So
yeah, I think in the end, sorry, not to spoil anything, but in the end in the animated show, it's like Gran and him are back together, and it's like they're family now. Okay. I mean, Katara and Sokka and him.
You know, that's an interesting thing because Zuko's mom goes through something like that as well. She's basically in this arranged marriage.
Yep.
Right, we talked about a few episodes ago where she's in an arranged marriage and then she goes back to her one true love sort of thing.
Oh, I think that was the arranged marriage, though.
Yeah, so it's the opposite, kind
of. And she fled from that.
Right, and she ended up, you know, with someone else, correct? And then he's passed, and so Grand's just going around, too. I don't know, but I mean, I can't wait to go back and watch the anime and figure it all out. I forgot about that, though, totally. So go Grand.
Man. I know.
Okay, what else you got?
Oh, I thought it was cool when Iroh defended the spirits, and he knew he had to be careful in his role as a protector of the spirits, but at the same time not to be a traitor to the Fire Nation again.
Right.
But he said, I'm going to unleash anything you do to the spirits. I'm going to unleash tenfold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wonder when Zhao asks him, like, where could they be? And he's like, well, they could be anything. They could be insects somewhere on the trees. We don't know. He knew full well that they were the fish.
Yeah.
Because when Zhao pointed out, I found them, he just ran over. He didn't even look at what Zhao found. He knew right away and said, Zhao, don't do it.
Don't do it. You know? Yeah.
So
Iroh knows. Yeah.
I'm sure he did.
Is that a shirt somewhere, by the way?
Iron Nose.
Oh, should be.
It should be. So, yeah. Then I just have Zhao definitely has a problem. Though he's getting a little deranged also.
Where he gets,
we have a word in German for it. It's Größenwahn, where you just, you get so crazy with your ambitions that it's.
Right, right. Can I?
Not.
I don't remember. Yeah. And I know you may not know this either, and that's okay. We'll have to kind of go look it up later. But this is the whole point in terms of driving us back. We're at the finale.
Yeah.
Go back to the animated series. We've got time now before season two comes out, and we'll go back and research all this stuff because I'm way more into it now than I think I was when it was just the animated.
That's great. Yeah.
Which is cool. That's what I think we're the opposite. You were super into the animated, and I now being, you know, older and having seen it much later in life, I'm like, this is cool. This live action, this is awesome. It feels like Star Wars to me.
Yes.
And I feel like I can enjoy it a little bit more. I don't know why, but it just feels like I'm I don't know, given license to do that. But I don't know if the Fire Lord, was he on board for this attack on the Moon Spirit?
I
don't know that he would. Because Zhao's just a crazy man, right?
Yeah.
He's taken the whole point is that, well, at least in the live action here, is it's distraction.
Yeah.
Send your troops up there.
Right.
I'm not real worried about it, but it's almost like Zhao had this extra plan to really take over everybody. Because clearly he was also saying, like, I'm going to take over, you know, Ozai as well. Like, I'm going
to
don't worry. I'm gonna get him too. But I mean, that's a nuts. You just threw the whole world out of balance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, what is wrong with you, man?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
in a grand scheme, that's what the Fire Lord does because he's trying to control all the other elements just with fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think he would go as far as, I think he's smarter than that. Eliminating the Moon Spirit.
Right. Exactly. It's almost like you, if they don't have any power or spark, you and if they just don't exist, then you don't have that power or that dominion over them.
Right
That's where Zhao sort of goes way too far and says, I'm just gonna, like, I mean, because the Fire Lord wants to bring them all in as colonies and you know, imperialism and bring them under his rule, right? Still do your thing, but it's all gonna be like under my watchful eye, and we're all gonna, this is, it's all about me. Versus Zhao has just lost his daggone mind.
Right. I think he's just consumed by the power that he feels that he has in his hands, right? Mm-hmm, he can kill the Moon. He can wipe out, he says it, he can wipe out an entire race of benders. And that's just, he doesn't think about any consequences. It's just that raw power that he feels.
Yeah. Now, can we back up to a character before he jumps off and goes for a nice, big, long, icy swim?
Yes.
Zuko. Talk about, by the way, tough. Could anybody else actually have swim? I mean, you know, he's swimming in underneath all the different, like, he swims into the city.
Yes.
He's under the ice.
Yes.
It is absolutely freezing cold.
With his breath of fire.
Could you imagine, like, no one else without magical abilities or powers or bending abilities would be able to do that.
No.
I mean, that was just crazy that he did that. But before that, when he says to Uncle Iroh, Lu Ten would have been proud to have you as a father. He is basically saying, I'm proud.
Proud to have you.
To have you as a father.
As a father, yes.
And I was like,
it was a, yes, I know.
And then they go
such
in.
A great moment.
Then they go in for the hug, and it's just like Iroh can't even say anything. The best thing that he can say is life-saving advice. Love him so much that, like, this is, we're in war. This will save your life.
Yeah.
I mean, why?
And it did.
He's the wisest man in the whole Dagon series. Yes. And he's literally just like, I know exactly where. It's almost like he has foresight to sort of see where, I know what pickle you're going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Use this. You'll be okay. I'll find you later.
Yeah.
My gosh. Anyways, just a great moment, though. And I thought this episode is what, like, nails it down for people who are Zuko fans.
Right.
And just love his arc and his story, because saying that and then what happens at the end of the series and just where he goes. And, you know, you can even see when he says, I have to go do this. Mm-hmm. I have to go after the Avatar. This ends now. This is the end right here. And it is, actually.
Yeah.
And so, and I, in a weird way, I think Iroh knows that. He knows that we have pushed the Avatar to the brink here.
Mm.
Something big is about to happen. I think all along he has known that, like, you don't get to do this to the Avatar. The Avatar is going to do his thing, right? What, you know, you're working against something. This is, and there's a lot of quotes from him in the animated series about his destiny and Zuko's destiny. And this is not one that This is just not his destiny, right? I mean, he thinks it is. He's been told that it is from his father, but it's not. And he needs to look inward.
Yes, and that's why Iwar couldn't just tell him from the beginning, hey, that's not your destiny.
No.
He had to learn that himself.
Right, exactly.
Zuko did, yeah.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is to not be able to, you know, just give that to somebody and ease their pain or whatever, but they have to go through that for it to
that's,
really,
I think,
you know,
I mean, not a parent yet, but I think that's what parents go through, right? You can't protect your kids from everything. You can not sit them down and tell them about all the dangers and bad things about the world. They have to unfortunately go and face it, and you can just do your best to prepare them to be the best they can be, right? To be resilient and to learn and grow and what to do with that knowledge.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so Zuko, I love their face off between like him and Zhao. And I don't care what people say, but firebending just looks so cool. I think they made it look so cool with all the martial arts elements in it. And I know there was a ridiculous moment when Iroh was attacking Zhao when he was holding the fish and the knife and like with the fire, and he just dropped the weapon, but the fish like kind of went forward. For me, that was a really weird moment. But
the fight
between them looked really, really cool. And when Zhao tells him the truth about Azula, and Zuko realizes that Zhao is right, but he doesn't want to believe it, but he knows it. In that moment, he probably already had a feeling. But when he just throws it at him so clearly, I really liked how the actor, like that face, like this, you don't want to, you just want to fight it, but there's no way. It all makes sense.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Sense what he says.
Yeah. Can I say real quickly though, that that fight scene between them, I thought they actually, because Iroh has to do something.
Yeah.
If he just stands there and lets it happen, that looks real, real, real bad, and he doesn't do that. So I was trying to think, you know, how are they going to do this? And he's giving him almost a chance. Put the fish back. Put the fish down.
Yeah.
Right? Like, step away from the fish. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. And he is sort of, he's on that fence of like, yes, I'm loyal to the Fire Nation. Yes, I'm trying to whatever. I'm trying to thread the needle here and make sure that I'm on the Fire Nation side.
Yeah.
But at the same time, resolve this peacefully. I'm here because of my nephew.
Yes.
Really. Everything that he needed was on that boat, he said, yeah. right? And that was his nephew, and he's yeah. here to kind of oversee and be involved in that. So he's mm-hmm. in a really precarious situation. And so for him to, like, yeah, cast the firebolt and, like, hit him in the hand, drop the mm-hmm. whatever is cool. And it looks like he does try to intervene as they're all, like, Aang is starting to levitate the fish mm-hmm. and everything's happening. It just all happens too quick. Yeah, I don't know. A couple different moves there by Aang and we could have got out of this pickle.
I know.
But, I mean, where's the force pull when you need it?
Right?
Like, just, come on.
Yeah.
Like, it's too slow. Aang, come on. You are a master airbender.
I know.
Here.
That levitating was pretty weak.
Yeah, or Zhao's faster than we know because
right.
Anyway, but yeah, it was just a little. They had to build tensions in suspense for people who haven't seen it. Also, right?
Right.
You don't know how it's going to go down, so you slow that moment down. It happened in a split second, but they intensify it.
Yeah.
Slowing it down. If I can put it out there. okay. Who next? Who to move on to next? Who? Oh, what? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, you don't know.
I thought you had. I was gonna just throw out a name. I was gonna say.
Throw your name.
Sokka. I was gonna.
Okay.
Just...
Yes. Sokka and Yue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, what about those two?
It took her a second. I feel like I don't know if I remember this correctly, but in the animated series, I feel like she was a little faster in her thinking
uh-huh.
and knowing what to do. And here it took her a little bit to understand what is her destiny.
Yeah, yeah.
She was given life by the moon spirit when she was little. She was sick. They told her parents she wouldn't survive, but then the moon spirit gave life to her.
Yeah.
And now it's time to give it back.
Is time. Literally. I think she says that.
Yeah.
Real quick, though, plug. I did a little, we did this whole thing on the cast and we're looking over everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Yue is... Amber Midthunder.
What a cool name.
What a cool name.
I mean,
and then I found out that she's in Hulu's The Prey. I think she's in a show. I think she's in Roswell, the show, which I love. I was telling you, like, oh my gosh, like this person.
Oh,
like,
have you ever seen the show Roswell?
Yeah, just a few episodes here and
really?
There. But I was like, I don't remember. I was sort of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So she's 26 years old at the time that I read the article or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just thought, okay, she's in there for a couple episodes.
Yes.
Does she come back? Is she ever, doesn't her voice come back later? It does. In the animated series, doesn't she like speak to Sokka a little bit or something? Or they reference her or talk to her?
Definitely, yes. They reference
yeah.
her.
Yeah. Because I just think I would think it'd be cool to kind of bring her back. I thought, mm-hmm. She's in here a couple episodes and she definitely.
Oh, I think she was awesome. Yeah.
She steals it here at the end and she's just
yeah.
cool. She's really, we talked about her last episode being so casual and laid back. And,
yeah.
Yeah, she just has good presence. You know, a lot of people, we did this episode, this was the Meet the Cast thing.
Yeah.
Where you look at how young that cast is.
Right.
You had to bring in people like, you had to bring someone like her in. To just
yeah.
other experienced people who are also middle-aged there.
Mm-hmm.
Middle-aged, sorry. 26.
Sorry.
I was thinking of another actor and then sorry, Amber, not you. But... You know what I'm saying? Like you had to bring in some more seasoned veteran actors around
mm-hmm.
them
mm-hmm.
Because some of the comments I'm going to read here later on where people were like upset with some of the castings. Nothing personal against those. They just thought that they were not the right person. I'm like, I think it's been perfectly cast.
I think so too.
I really do. I think
they're doing a fantastic job. And again, it's very subjective, right?
It is.
If you don't, you are entitled to say, I don't like it, but
yeah. For sure. I mean, I think the thing is, like, I look at the Harry Potter films and I look at some of the acting that our trio did.
Yeah.
And they all look back on it and say, golly, wow.
I know, right? But
every child actor has a long way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did a good job. This is a kid's show,
right?
And I just feel like they did a good job. And what really carries it is some of the other adults.
Yeah.
And that other interaction. That's the same thing in Harry Potter and in anything where you have.
True. I mean, they had some really big names in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I think that.
It helps.
That helped them to grow and. What did Tom Felton say? They had sometimes no idea who they were working with
until
later.
Oh, they had no clue. Yeah, because they're so young and they don't really
yeah.
know. To get to the point, the older actors, they really do, I think, just help these younger actors along.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's been really interesting because they've had to be, I don't know, they're not all super well known. Right, but I mean, and they also are they were specific in their culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just know we didn't mention her, and I wanted to make sure that we did. There's so many other ones that we need to mention too
yeah.
as we kind of keep going. Maybe we'll go back through, but That's been the biggest thing for me. I normally am not like that. Normally, I just like cover the show. I'm all about the plot. I'm all about the story. Lottie knows this. You guys who have listened to me before, I don't really even in Star Wars talk a lot about the actors. Mm-hmm. I don't really talk about where they're coming. So to me, I think it's because they brought something that was a cartoon to life.
Right.
And that's where you're really like, okay, you're really starting. I don't know. For some reason, we do more comparison or we think more about it. And I just am blown away. I thought she did a great job. And UA comes in there and, oh, I know the question I was going to ask. Remember, I asked this the other day. We were in episode 7, and we were getting ready to go into the finale here. And I thought, wait a second. Is Yue more important than Aang? Is she not more important? Is there a world to save for Aang if not for Yue?
Not really.
Come on now. I mean, really. I mean, I actually kind of love Zhao's line where he's sort of like, I don't know. I mean, Master of Three Elements doesn't have quite the same ring. It's like, I mean, he's got a point.
Yeah.
So, and if she doesn't do that, what other sort of imbalance is it going to create in the world? And then does Zhao continue on this spirit raid and taking out other, you know, major spirits in the world?
Oh, yeah. It would be terrible. So,
terrible.
Yes.
So, I just feel like.
She is extremely important for this.
She's a big deal.
She is. And I really love later on when Yue's father says to Sokka, when Sokka feels very guilty that he didn't do anything, he just watched. He says, in a moment when she must have been scared, you made sure she wasn't alone. And you don't have to be a warrior to be a hero. In a moment when she must have been scared, you made sure she wasn't alone. Almost like Sokka gave her
comfort
in this moment,
strength,
the courage to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
She wasn't alone.
You know, honestly, when you stop for a minute and you really do think about if she was alone, it is much harder to do. There's no one to sort of tell your story and even tell what you did. Not that matters, but like it matters just to her father, just to her intermediate family. Maybe not the world, but sometimes you just want that one person to know. Yeah. And it can give you the extra strength that you need. Sort of, again, she's half spirit, sort of half human. I mean, she's got the essence of the moon in her, right? And she has to sort of give that back. And give up her life.
Yeah.
And it's a big moment. It saves everyone, really. And what we see is this. We see Aang. Mm-hmm. We see this vengeful water spirit go out and save her. When they all bow and kneel to
her. Aang gives himself up just like Yue did.
Right. Yeah. And he does. And it's also, he does deserve just as much sort of, you know, credit or whatever. But I think he is more visible. It's more easy for everyone to see what he's doing and his influence, whereas her sacrifice could have gone unnoticed.
Right.
They could have found her there and not have known what happened to her. She is just passed, or do they find her body? You know, I don't know.
It looks like the body just dissolves in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, and becomes the fish.
Great mystery then, you know?
So. Yeah, she just disappears,
Okay. But anyways, yes, big moment. I kind of like, so do you have issues then with the way, any of the differences or whatever? You said you had some issues, right, with the spirit?
Yeah, I think there's the spirit monster that's a little Godzilla-like.
Yeah.
I just don't like it as much, but that was original. Mm-hmm. The animated show, that's what the monster that kind of saved. I get it. Like, you need this great spirit to create a great wave that kind of throws over all these ships that are about to invade. But for me... I don't know why. I just don't want to think of it as a big monster.
Okay.
You know, the water spirit or the ocean spirit. And it's silly, I know, but...
It's a dark side, you know? It's the yin and yang.
I thought it was pretty cool, though, that they said, or Yue was it, I think, who said, Aang is lost. It's just a spirit wandering forever looking for its lost partner, the moon spirit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it was when you think about the moon, you think about tides, and you do think about that, you know, that back and forth and the pulling in of tides and the power that the moon has actually on the oceans. It is crazy. I love that they tied all that in there.
Yeah.
And they really made it feel real. It actually feels like, okay, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like, maybe water bending is real. Like, who can do it?
I mean, the moon can do it. Yeah.
Right. The moon can do it. So, like, but I mean, it was, I like it. I think it works still, and I know we talked about the Avatar Kirk. Thank you. And I like his story, too. I like that he wasn't able. He's a lone wolf, and he's not really able to come back and do the thing that I think you might have thought was cooler, which is him pulling a Kyoshi and coming in and saying,
yes. But it would have changed. That would have been a huge change, right? And it has to make sense with the spirits, so I get it.
Right, yeah.
That wasn't really possible, but I don't know.
Okay, all right. What else you got? Anything else?
Just in the end that Pakaru pays his respect to Katara. We talked about that. Oh, and just also that it definitely feels more tragic and like real war in the live action with more actual losses, like Han, who we met, and the little boy who called Katara a master. So yeah, I think it's a little more like real on that end.
Does anyone know? Does like Han linger in the spirit world with Yue?
Oh my goodness!
Does
what?
He go? What I'm saying, like some of these guys end up not
as
going.
Friends, you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Like maybe he seemed to like her still. We never got like resolution to that.
Everyone can linger in the spirit world though.
Okay. Did he actually die in the anime? I don't even remember. I think he gets thrown over the boat. I'm not really sure if he perishes or not. But the whole point with him is that it's tragic.
Yeah.
Because he seems wonderful. He seems fine. He seems like a good young
man.
Right.
It's very different. Yeah. He says he's okay with the fact that you always said sorry. No.
Right.
I don't think we're a good fit.
Right. And even though he probably still had feelings for her a little bit, but she, you know, the boy of her dreams is Sokka. But the girl of his dreams, you know, is Yue.
Yeah.
And I'm just feeling like a Snape, James Potter situation kind of going on here. Like, Yue is Lily, and Han is Snape, and Sokka is James. Right? That's what it feels like.
A little bit.
So I'm a little sympathetic. Although, Han was a lot better of a person than Severus Snape.
And plus, Sokka still has, you know, someone else. In the
so I guess that doesn't work.
He's also pretty, I mean, for losing a girlfriend, he just kind of met, but he was pretty chipper at the end for that, I gotta say.
But he just met.
But it's okay. The ending is very cheesy, you know?
Yeah.
The way
it's a kid show.
They ended. And I know that it's a relation to, like you said, the animated show. And I think there is a little hint to Toph in there when they talk about melons. Melon Lord.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so, gosh, what else have we really not talked about? I guess the very, very end and just sort of Ozai, right? And sort of his big reveal that this was not the main target.
Yeah, the North was never the true target.
Dang.
And they captured Omashu and Bumi.
And Azula did it.
Azula did it.
I mean, she's also sort of playing her own game and, you know,
What's next?
Yeah, Jiminy Christmas.
And that could have been it. You think it's over now.
Mm-hmm.
But then they show another scene where the
comet,
one of the sages, shows the Fire Lord that Sozin's comet coming back soon.
Gives them extra powers, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it make them extra strong?
Yes.
Right? Okay. So it's going to be even more tough to beat him in season two, right?
Yippers.
They did mention Ba Sing Se a couple times. And I know it's been mentioned before. But with Ba
Sing Se is the last city that's still kind of standing.
Right.
That they need to conquer.
I don't know why. I just love saying Ba Sing Se.
Ba Sing Se.
Welcome back to Ba Sing Se Radio. I am your host, whatchacallit guy. Anyway. scared you there, didn't I? So the ending was really, I mean, there's resolution, and it feels good to me. I mean, it feels like, okay, cool, this all capped off, and they really, I think it landed. I think it did a good job. Now, do you have any other thoughts before I kind of go into some of the comments here?
Nope, I just think, great show, great animations, loved it.
Gotcha. What I'll do is I'll screenshot some of this, and I'll throw it up on the screen. I'll read some of your guys' names. Some of the usernames on here are wild. I don't know if I can read all of them. They're also a little strange. But we do have Midnight Maniac. Personally, I believe that the series is way better than the live-action movie they made years ago. Now, can we all just... we all agree that that's the case.
We kind of expected that.
We do. And I think... I don't know. I don't remember... I don't really remember. I did watch it, and I remember when it came out, but I wasn't invested in like looking at all the behind the scenes and who was making it and how authentic it was being or any of that. I just know, for me, it just didn't hook me as a movie, and I was like, okay. That happens. I think there's cool cast in that, and I think that it's a part of every fandom has its holiday special, we'll call it.
Yeah.
So in Star Wars, you have the holiday special, and it's abysmal. What is it?
Yeah.
You have the Ewok show, little cartoon. You have these things that are like kind of like that the creator wants to go, did we do that? Like, hold on. Stop. Let's focus on what we did well.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back to the drawing board. It's okay. You fumble things. I mean, for crying out loud, Star Wars fumbled the sequels. All right, I'll go ahead and say it. A little bit. They did. Still like them, but they were fumbled.
Yeah.
Jessica says the actor for Zuko is really good.
Agreed. Yeah.
Really good. I think you were talking about the firebending, and I really like I think the best move that he has is when he does the fire kick.
Oh, I know, right?
Oh, my gosh.
That looks fantastic.
He's just bringing that down, and you think, okay, the fire punch missed, but that's all right. He's doing a roundhouse. Here it comes.
Yep.
Boom. And he's just laying that foot down, and it's just... Yep. And it almost gets him every time, and I'm like, oh, my God. Sometimes it does land, and it hits him in the chest, and boom, blows him back some of the other.
Yep.
It's super cool.
Yeah, it's like a dodge and then an attack at the same time. It's really cool.
Yeah. Okay, so Boom Bassett here. So first time watching any Avatar, I always knew.
That's cool.
Yeah, I always knew of the cartoon, but never got around to it. Watched the Netflix series and loved it.
Yay!
Okay. Downloaded the 3-season animated series. And I'm through half of season one. The animated is more hilarious. I guess certain things can be done in animation because Aang's expressions in the animation are funny as blank. Nearly lost my lunch when he was riding that giant fish. Now, we're going to get into different comments. We have a wide range. Okay. So next up, Yusuf Onzu. I feel the Aang could have been cast better. And there's no serious acting, and certain cast isn't professional. Also, some dialogues are meant for kids or teens.
Yeah.
For example, how they showed the conversation between Azula and her friends was so unnecessary. Now, I'm going to disagree. I think Aang is perfectly cast.
I think he does a great job. For me, he's a perfect Aang.
He's great.
He does a great job.
I think he has a smile. I think he was actually on the Jimmy Fallon show, and just on the fly, they handed him basically a stick and said, can you do some stuff? And he like walked over.
Really?
And did, oh, yeah. He started.
I gotta watch that.
Oh, it's amazing. It was crazy. And so I'm like, all right, the kid's got all of his moves and stuff, and he had to learn all that stuff for the show. And then here he is like, yeah, no problem. One take, got it. And I just think he's funny. I do get they're young. Again, you guys are expecting, I think, watching the animated series that that's a lot of expression to pull off, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different things to convey quickly, and it's just tough.
I think he does it.
I think he has
a lot of expressions.
Yeah, I do. I actually think most of the I definitely know there's a line or two in a whole season where I'm like, ah, it's a little awkward. Like, well, you
know,
didn't convince me or whatever. I mean, all of them. I think, you know, for Katara that happens once or twice. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, whatever, you know? Like, I think even they will look back years later and say, yeah, we were young, right?
Yeah.
Thank God for the opportunity. This is awesome. And then they will grow from it. So yeah, but it is a kid's show, and so I have to say some of the dialogue that it's meant for kids or teens. That's just what it is, right?
Yeah, I actually think that my middle schoolers are probably watching the show and really enjoying it.
Yeah, so. Yep. So here we go. Joey's, it's worth a watch for an episode or two to get you in the mood to binge watch the original with the shrug the shoulders. And I mean, some people, I really would challenge people to finish it all the way through and to binge. We easily binge watched it, you know what I mean? I think we really got into it, and we're looking for some of those themes, some of those same sentiments that were there. You know, somebody said something like that within the first minute when Aang was when he was flying or whatever without his glider, they're like, I'm out, as soon as they saw him flying without his glider. Well, actually, he was just perched up very high,
right?
And he really just used sort of his like little cape thing to like drift down. So
plus they have the invisible, like the air ball.
Right, and you
can't see them as well in the show.
I know. And the other thing really is, like, you're using sort of your bending, by the way, to push off of various objects to spin yourself around, and that's the whole kind of point there. But it's just sort of like, it's cool to be critical. I've always said it. It's cool to be critical, and people just want to critique it for any one thing and make their quick comment, get a bunch of likes on it, move on. I've been like, oh, man.
And again, I don't want to tell anyone, like, you can't dislike the show. If you really don't like it and enjoy it,
For sure. But I also want to tell folks, legit, too, though, that if you like it like we do, speak loud about it.
Yeah.
And let those people know, I disagree with you. I mean, I don't think that's a fair. I think it's the thing. when people go negative and they often have a negative connotation associated with their comment or their view on the show, mm-hmm. and you combat that, you don't have to be negative about it. It's just, I just disagree. And I think you're wrong, actually. Yeah. And it's like, you know, but again, I'm allowed to say that just the same way you're allowed to say what you
think. It just feels like the ones with the negative opinion want to voice it louder on the internet than the ones that have positive opinions.
Yeah, I think most people like it. And here's the thing at the end of the day. What kind of trumps all of this is the money, the views, mm-hmm. right? And whether they renew it and all those different things. Right. I think the critics, the review, like the rewards and stuff. So all of that, we'll see how it goes. And maybe it doesn't bring in the numbers. Maybe it doesn't bring in the money. Maybe it doesn't. That's okay. Could happen. Right now, it looks like it's going to.
Yeah.
Actually, though, it looks like it's going to.
It looks like it's pretty successful, right?
On Netflix. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, but I think a lot of people are watching it and just enjoying it and, you know, binging it and moving on to the next thing. And mm-hmm. maybe they're going into the animated series too. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Richard Clark said, I know I am in the minority, but the live action was infinitely more watchable to me than the cartoon as a 40-something year old. Tried to get into the cartoon a couple years ago and couldn't force myself to get past episode 4. So again, this is somebody who's talking about like approaching the Avatar series being in their 40s. Right?
Okay.
Being in their 40s and saying, you know what, this show actually was really good, live action. That made it more sort of watchable and more approachable for me.
I can totally understand, where you get lost after the first 2-3 episodes in the animated show. You feel like, it's not really my cup of tea anymore.
Right. And it doesn't get to some of the more important themes or the more serious tones, right?
Character developments.
Right. It takes a lot. You have to commit.
Yeah.
And it's like 20 episodes or whatever. Yeah. And you have to really get into it. Takes a lot of time. So, but this definitely conveys all of that out the gate.
Yeah.
So for adults or people who are looking to get into it and people who maybe have grown up with it, they immediately, what actually kept you going through the animated series? All of that sentiment, all those good, the good storytelling, the themes, the message, that is all like put right up front.
Yeah.
And you're instantly reminded, I feel like, of all the things that really propelled you all the way through it. Not just the laughs and the comedic nature of Sokka and Aang and all of them running around and doing their thing. Like the deeper message, it's there. And you're like, wow, this is cool. That's the thing that made it legendary, really.
Right. So
anyway. Okay, just a few comments. Just wanted to read those to you guys. And thanks for everybody who does comment. And all comments are, well, you know, respectful comments are welcome on the channel. So feel free to, you know, comment on the videos over at the Extended Edition. And, well, you know, this has been fun. We've kind of, this is our, I don't know, first time we've really done a different fandom besides Harry Potter and
True, and
Star
it was
Wars.
A lot of fun, like you said, yep. All right, guys, thank you so much again for commenting on our videos. And I think that concludes our coverage of the Avatar. We'll be back soon with Bad Batch. Do you have anything else, sweetie, you want to say about the show, Avatar, your experience with it?
I loved it. In general, I thought it was great. And I have to say, a lot of the comments that are out there, I am glad we brought them up because I think there's a lot of good and there's a lot that need to be just sort of, featured, but yet have a little rebuttal, a little back and forth. So thank you for doing that. All right, friends. Hey, thanks for extending your Avatar experience with us. This wraps up our discussion of Season 1, Avatar, The Last Airbender, live action show. If you have thoughts you'd like to share with us, then send us a message at theflannelwizard@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow over on Instagram at The Extended Edition. And as always, remember...
Yep.
We'll be right back.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.